Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
There's a very interesting read in the Irish Times by Diarmaid Ferriter today. And he's talking about the opening of the US chicken fast food giant Popeyes. It's the latest chicken outlet to come to Ireland. And he's making the point, you know, that it's clear we're becoming a fast food nation. And one of the big takeaways I took from his article today is that here in Ireland and in the UK and in the US, that more than half the average diet now consists of ultra-processed foods. And for some in younger and in some lower income categories, that's even up to the guts of about 80%. Dee Laffin, food writer, is with me here on the programme today. Dee, when did we see this? When did this change happen?
I mean, I think in terms of American fast food chains in Ireland, we've always been slightly obsessed with, I think as a nation, we're slightly obsessed with American culture in general, whether that's TV shows or, you know, whatever. So I think there's that draw for some stuff from across the Atlantic. And people who go there, you know, have a great time on holidays, and then they come back and, you know, they talk about having Five Guys burgers or In-N-Outs or whatever it is. So I think, you know, we started with things like years ago in the kind of 90s, we saw Dunkin' Donuts. Also, we'd have, like, obviously the first McDonald's.
The first drive-through.
Yeah, the first drive-through. I mean, like, I don't know the exact year the first drive-through came to Ireland, but it definitely was probably like the 80s or something like that when it came in. I know I'm from small town Roscrea in Tipperary, and where I grew up on a small road, when Roscrea was bypassed, they add in a McDonald's at the roundabout of the bypass for it. And now loads of people stop on the way to Limerick or anyway down south. You know, it's either they stop in Roscrea for the McDonald's or they go to Moneygall for the Barack Obama Plaza. So, like, you know, there is a lot of the introduction of kind of bigger roads, you know, from being in the EU and getting all the kind of money to kind of upgrade our roads and add motorways into the country to make it easier to go around, has meant the installation of these big service stations. And I suppose big service stations, what's come with it is these are now the points where a lot of fast food chains are being added. So first, again, it was McDonald's and Supermax and Burger King. And now we're seeing Taco Bell's, Wendy's, adding to that list of service station chains. But, you know, it hasn't stopped there. I mean, literally, as you said, Popeye's just opened. You know, there's Chick-fil-A, Wingstop, Slim Chickens. And I was in town the other day, and I give some food walking tours throughout the summer with Fab Food Trails in Dublin. And it's usually, you know, it's usually American tourists that we have on those tours. And we bring them down to Grilla at Central Bank at the Central Plaza. The Toasty Place, which is an amazing Irish business set up by two chefs during COVID. The best, you know, great toasties. And they're doing really, really well. And they are in the kind of back corner of Central Plaza. And now when I turn the corner on Dame Street, which is obviously like a prime street, leads down to Trinity College. They all go down and see the Book of Kells as tourists as well. It's a very prominent street in the city centre. And when you turn the corner, they're met with a taste of home. Like, you've got Krispy Kremes, and now you've got this new Dave's Hot Chicken, which apparently has celebrity investment from Drake and Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
Now, that's just about to open. It hasn't quite opened yet, but they've been working on it. It looks like they're going to open very soon.
Yeah.
But they have the prime spots at the front. Now, that could be to do with, again, maybe no Irish business was able to meet the, I would imagine, hefty rental charges that are being given for those spots. So you've got Grilla in the back corner, and now Bujo opened last week in the other corner at the back. And you also have a Gino's Gelato in there as well.
And do the tourists comment on this? Do they pick open?
Yes. They feel almost like they laugh, and they think it's
I feel
embarrassed. And they're like, oh my goodness, like, why would you guys have, you know, Krispy Kremes, and like, why wouldn't you have other American businesses that are way better than that? Like, is that what you guys are into? Or, you know, they don't, and they're not saying that they don't, like, they're not saying they don't have fast food chains in America. Like, obviously they recognize that and recognize fast food and they like, but they're just saying, well, they can't understand our obsession with American food.
Well, just on that, Dee, Russ Parsons, who's of course an American in Ireland and a food writer, Russ is with us here on the program as well. What's your observations on this, Russ? Are we obsessed with American fast food?
I'm not sure, and I'm a little bit leery of definition. One of the things, we've lived here for 7 years now, but we came over as tourists probably 10 or 11 years, and one of the first things that I noticed when I go to eat at a pub was the three staples seem to be a hamburger, a Cajun chicken sandwich, and, and some form of curry. So, you know, I suppose even if you're eating it sitting down, does that count as fast food? I found the article a little interesting in the focus on ultra-high processed foods, and the definitions of those are floating. And it occurred to me, I just finished lunch, and I had a ham and cheese toastie, and according to those definitions, that would all probably be highly processed foods, even though I just made it myself. Ham is cured, cheese is coagulated with chemicals, whole wheat bread is made with, it has chemicals added to it. So it's all slightly murky to me.
Yeah, it's funny because like we would have had, as Dee mentioned, Russ, the burger boom a number of years ago, and now it seems to be kind of a flock of chicken outlets that's, you know, fast food chicken outlets that's opening across the country. Is it just that there isn't an appetite from Irish food providers to open more takeaways or businesses like that, or is it just that it's too costly?
You know, my feeling about it is that Ireland is still a country that's developing and finding itself and finding its character, and it's still very, very fascinated by the exotic. And you know, especially when I started coming over as a tourist, as a fairly snotty, food obsessed tourist who is looking for real Irish food, yeah, I find it really difficult to find.
Yeah, it's very it can be quite difficult for sure. And that's a point been mentioned here by some of the texters as well. I just want to bring in Richard Hanlon, Russ, for a moment. Richard is from Mimi's on South William Street here in Dublin. Richard, what do the customers want?
Well, that's a very good question. The market is changing, so what you're seeing is a lot of it's driven by the change in demographics in Dublin. So you have less, you want people working from home on the older population, I think. And then you have social media basing. So the younger 18 to 25 year old is more in town. So all these companies are marketing towards that. So like Gorilla and Musto on Jury Street, these places are targeting that market, that takeaway market and food price. But when it comes to like quality of food, the big US chains are obviously going to have processed food and stuff, which there's room for that in the market, but now they're saturating the market because a lot of the independent places like coffee shops and restaurants are actually struggling, and they're all revising their menus. And we're doing the same here. I mean, we now make all our products on site. We've gone into a whole authentic Italian vibe, very different for a different market. But it's really what you're seeing is the change with the huge marketing budgets and U.S. companies coming in and driving out the authentic smaller places. That's why you've seen so many restaurants and places closing down in the last couple of years. So the industry has lots of problems, and then the smaller people just can't compete on budgets for locations, et cetera, like that.
So that's a big part of the issue.
Where does it go? I mean, the problem is really the city center doesn't have the same footfall. So you have a much younger generation around during the day, and they're not going to go into restaurants or into establishments like that anymore. They're just going by what's on TikTok and Instagram. So you're competing against that.
Listener
That's what we see.
Yeah, there's another listener here, Richard, makes the point, and maybe you might be able to answer this question as somebody that runs a restaurant. The other problem with all of the takeaway places is that people have nowhere to sit. They've nowhere to actually eat the food that they're in buying, and then there isn't enough bins. So then they're sitting on the street, they're in the parks, they're eating their food, they've nowhere to put the rubbish. Inevitably, it's often just dumped on the side.
Well, yeah, look, that's a huge problem. There's never been enough waste disposal for rubbish or recycling around the town, or even public toilets. That's the other thing, Dublin City Council. So, yeah, that's a big problem everywhere. You see it every morning. How that's Dublin City Council to address that, not the food establishments. But, I mean, they're pushing out the product onto the street and people will go wherever they can. And, yeah, there is not really any public seating to be found, very few spots. Where you can actually sit down without having to go into a place. And then all those places don't have seats inside. Mm-hmm. They don't even have toilets, most of them, because it's takeaway. That is a big problem that should be addressed also. But generally, it's just a change in the demographic of the city that's feeding this into the problems of food. You know, your suburban restaurants are doing better than your city centre restaurants. So in the city centre, it's awash with chain food and also mass marketing, like the place that you mentioned earlier, is pre-marketing prior to their launches. So they start this off maybe 6 or 3 months intensive marketing, so that there's huge queues on the pop-up days. And that's trending and it's popular for that age group. But we really have to address the whole industry. And the city centre needs more footfall and it needs to be beautified and make it comfortable. A lot of people my age don't come into town, so they don't feel comfortable, the buses aren't great, and they've nowhere to park if they drive in.
Texture here, this listener tells us they think it seems to be the younger people are actually often eating out more and getting more takeaways. So the takeaway food suits them better and it's cheaper for them as well. Another listener makes the point, what we need is a food market to cater for people. Give people somewhere to sit down, enjoy the different types of cuisine. Just look at how much of a success that it is in Lisbon. Orla Walsh, who's a registered dietitian, is joining us here as well on the programme today. Like, it is fascinating, Orla, that to think here in Ireland, the UK, we might maybe never or previously have put ourselves on par with the US, that more than half the average diet now consists of ultra-processed foods.
Yeah, and I suppose the problem comes from what is in ultra-processed foods, but also when you're eating ultra-processed foods, you're not eating whole foods. And they have ultra-processed foods and a lot of these takeaways. They provide very few vitamins and minerals. They're high in things we already eat too much of, low in things that we need to eat more of. But I guess the other issue from a health point of view is that because they're high in fat, they're high in calories per bite. And because they're soft, you eat them quickly. So actually, you start taking in a lot of calories per minute, and it is ultimately less satiating. So there's loads of problems here from a health point of view. And I suppose the situation of them is worth considering too. In some ways, I prefer them in the city centre away from schools than near schools, because again, that's a problem. But I suppose the uptake is going to be high no matter where you are if you can go on an app to at your fingertips and order it straight to you, so you don't actually have to even leave the house.
But there's been a remarkable shift, though, in the last whatever, maybe is it even a decade, Orla, when you look at the, you know, the emergence of the Just Eats and the Deliveroos and you know, and all of the other delivery providers that are out there via the apps. Like, how we have shifted as a nation. We're all seeking convenience.
Yeah, and I suppose it's trying to look at supporting the growth of healthier convenience food, which does exist. It's just more challenging for restaurants because, you know, it's more expensive to make and it's more expensive to buy. And so there's lots of different issues here. But I do think that the uptake with the apps has increased everything. And you'll see young people sitting around in a circle, not talking, on their phones. And then all of a sudden, a pizza delivery comes along and like lands some pizza in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's at the their fingertips. It's just so easy. And unfortunately, they're easy to overeat.
Yeah. So another angle, says this texter as well, you have an awful lot of young people now that are just living at home because they can't afford to move out. And the only maybe, you know, little bit of time on their own that they get is to go out and have a meal to get away from their parents. Again, this comes back to the housing situation. Listener tells me they recently did a food tour in Belfast. It was just brilliant. I think there is nice spots in Dublin, but they're often hidden behind these big chains. We're actually going to do a food tour in Galway on Monday as part of our summer tour, so we'll bring you more about that. Another listener tells me that they agree that Ireland is still finding itself, including when it comes to food. We newly have money, we're trying to find identity and rediscover culture, and that's true for food as well. Is there some truth to that, D. Laffin? What do you associate as Irish food?
Oh, look, I mean, we have a really healthy food culture, and I think we need to kind of almost, you know, stop asking that question of what is Irish food, because I think, you know, we have a really rich heritage of food in this country and culture in this country. I think it's just that sometimes when people equate food culture, they equate it to a restaurant scene. And, you know, that has been something that has been developing. And as Russ said, we're still finding our feet in terms of that because of the diversity of our population now. We're just having an influx of flavors and foods and different things like that. But Irish food fundamentally comes down to the ingredients. And we have incredible core ingredients from our producers across the island. You know, you see it in your restaurant plates, from meat to dairy to potatoes to everything to vegetables, yeah. You know. And I think that is what Irish food is, in that culture. We have amazing food festivals, food tours, as you mentioned, in every city, every town. But what I worry about, and I would really put it back to the government and say, like, why are we allowing so many of these chains to open here when there probably are independent Irish businesses who could fill those spots? Like, does it come down to rental rates?
But the public must want them. I mean, like, people here are telling me about Blanchardstown last weekend and the queues for Popeyes, huge queues as well. You know, that you see this all over. Like the public can choose to spend their money wherever they want, but they want this.
But we have other amazing, like, and it's not just like being anti-against international companies coming here, but like we have, for example, Chimac in Dublin, which is another fried chicken fast food essentially outlet, but like it's Irish business. They source their ingredients really well, so you know, like there's free range chicken used, and you know, but it's a Korean style fried chicken. Like, you know, wouldn't they queue up for one of those if it opened in Blanchardstown the same? And as Russ pointed out, you know, the marketing, like lead in time to these things, make them seem like you have to queue overnight when they open and stuff like that. My worry is that if people tour around the country and we keep allowing these places to open, like very soon in certain rural parts, like if we're talking a lot about the city will also have always have a big mix of places. But around the country, what if your only option is a petrol station with a Taco Bell? Like, does that represent Irish food? No, it doesn't. And like, I'd worry in rural Ireland, if there's bigger, are they going to squeeze out smaller independent cafes and lower budget and cost friendly independent restaurants that are just trying to still keep Irish food culture alive? I'd worry about that.
A friend of mine moved home from the UK finally, Dee, very recently, and one of the observations she made to me, she said she could not get over the amount of Mexican restaurants around Dublin and burrito bars in particular. We're obsessed with Mexican food.
Yeah, well, I mean, people would argue that burritos aren't Mexican food, but it's Tex-Mex or Cali-Mex, you know, but some derivative of it.
Yeah.
But again, you were right when you said earlier on that we always seem to latch on to one particular trend. You know, we had
the burgers,
burritos,
fried
tacos,
chicken.
Then burgers, pizzas, slices of pizza now is, you know, and also bagels seems to be the big one. But at the moment, what we are seeing an increase in is authentic kind of Mexican places opening. A lot of them as pop-ups in pubs or in smaller places, and they're doing more, I suppose, really culturally appropriate kind of Mexican food. You know, there's a lot more of a Mexican population here as well, and they're finding opportunities to open businesses, and those businesses should be supported as well, rather than maybe bigger American chains.
The listener here tells me, with all this talk about food and fried chicken, the only thing we've done over the past 25 minutes is make them hungry, and we're now going to encourage them to go out and buy some form of chicken leg. D. Laffin, Russ Parsons, Richard Hanlon, Orla Walsh, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.